trusting that all of us who are children of God look forward to that time when our souls will be resting in the presence of the Lord. That indeed should be a very satisfying experience for all of us. It is good to see those of you who are here this evening, those who have returned, that we might continue and that we might conclude our study of God's Word. And we're going to invite you to turn to the passage that was read a few moments ago from James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. This is a passage that is familiar to Bible readers everywhere. James 1, 19 through 21. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word, which is able to save your souls. According to reports I have received, I began talking fairly early in life with some degree of skill and clarity. But I, after 65 years, have not yet mastered and perfected the fine art of good communication. And if you don't believe that, you can ask my wife. You probably can ask some of you as well. You probably can ask some of my co-workers. And if you want to get a fairly accurate assessment of the degree to which my communication skills have been developed and honed, you could ask my daughter. I think she'd be pretty much honest and open in making an assessment of her dad's communication skills. I have been working on my skills for a long time, and there is still much work to do. I recognize the tremendous value of the tongue and the great responsibility God places upon us that we might use it more prudently and wisely. I think of Proverbs 18 and verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I think of Proverbs 16 and verse 1, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. One of the problems I have, I don't sometimes do a lot of preparation right in the midst of conversation. Sometimes what comes to mind, what comes up, comes out. And that happens to us. But we need to be careful as we utilize our powers of speech. One of the greatest distinctions between the lower animals in the art of creation and man is man's power to communicate clearly, and we should not take it lightly. I think of Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 23. Paul, the wise man, I'm thinking about Paul and James. The wise man says, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from trouble." I know that from personal experience. You know, I have gotten myself in a lot of trouble by the ill and thoughtless usage of my tongue. Recognizing the great power of the tongue and value of the tongue, James shares some vital principles with us in verse number 19. There are a lot of other passages and additional verses that can help us and that address the proper usage of the tongue, of the powers of speech. But I want to talk to you just very briefly, and I'm being as brief as I am this evening, not because of the Super Bowl, but I'm being as brief as I am because of the eye bowl. Yeah, I've been having some trouble with my eyes this evening. As a matter of fact, I was late coming into the auditorium because I was in the bathroom doing some hot compress treatments. I mean, they were really burning seriously this evening. And I just could not refrain from taking the opportunity and the time out to do those hot compresses. They really help, and I'm doing a lot better. But I want to talk to you just for a few minutes based on James 1, 19 through 21, but principally verse 19, keys to good communication. Keys to good communication. Some of you are familiar with the Miranda Law. You know, police, they employ the Miranda Law. And that's done for our protection. And they are supposed to remind you if they arrest you, or if they detain you, or if they suspicion that you're guilty of some crime. You know what they tell you, little Gary? You have the right to remain silent. We need to learn to appreciate that right. As a matter of fact, that's a right that's not just conferred by governmental authority or the Constitution of the United States, but prerequisitely, this right is bequeathed to us from the great God of glory. He says in so many passages in sacred literature, you have the right to remain silent. Now, I know the Constitution also emphasizes our right for free speech. You know, we have the right to free, responsible speech. You have the right to speak to me and to speak out on what your beliefs are and what your convictions are. And I have the right to speak out and express what my convictions are and what the truth is. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So I have the right to speak. But my right to speak should not necessarily override my right to remain silent. When we look at Ecclesiastes 3, in one of those expressions that is used, there's a time to speak and a time to refrain from speaking. And sometimes I get those two mixed up. Sometimes I speak when I ought to be quiet. Other times I be quiet when I ought to speak. So we pray to God for wisdom enough to know when to speak and how to speak. Proverbs 16:1 again, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. The more you know about the Lord, the more you have internalized his word, the more knowledgeable you are on a spiritual level, the more likely it would be that you will know when it is time to speak and when it is time to be silent. Three things I want to point out just briefly from verse number 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. The first key that I want to mention as a key to good communication is based on the affirmation, let every man be swift to hear. And by that I mean let every man tune in. You know, that's the first one. Tune in. God gave us two ears and one tongue. Somebody said, signifying that we should listen at least twice more than we speak. Now, that's not written anywhere in concrete, but it's sensible, it's practical that we should tune in if we are to practice good communication skills. We automatically, when we think about communication, we think about talking, speaking. But equally significant and equally important is the ability to listen. The ability to listen. And I've been working on that one for a good while. I think I've made some progress. But I still have a way to go. So the first thing is tune in. That is, tune in to the other person. Tune in with your ears. Listen cautiously. Listen carefully. Listen critically as you're being communicated with by someone else. So tune in. First of all, but he says not only let every man be swift to hear, he also adds slow to speak. Slow to speak. And I take that to mean that we should tone down. See, tune in, tone down. Sometimes we talk too quickly or we speak too quickly, but we need to be contemplative in making preparation to articulate our desires and our requests or our concerns. We need to tone down. But not only do we need to tune in and tone down, but also if we are to improve our communication skills, we need to sweeten up. Sweeten up. Not only should we be swift to hear, tune in, slow to speak, tone down, but also slow to wrath, signifying that we should be swift. we should rather, when it comes to practicing good communication skills, we should sweeten up. Now, verse 20 says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." And he says in verse 21, "Wherefore lay apart all superfluity of naughtiness, rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." Now, I need to listen to my wife. I need to listen to my neighbors. I need to listen to my brothers and sisters. I need to listen to my children. I need to listen to my co-workers. But above all, I need to listen to the Lord. I need to give ear to the Lord. I need to receive with meekness what he has to say. It should be paramount and preeminent above any other kind of communication which is directed toward me. And I find that the more I am tuned in to what God has to say, then the more carefully I'm going to be able to tune in to what you have to say. When we look in Ephesians chapter 4, there are several verses. Verse 15, for instance, Paul says, "But speaking the truth in love," we should always be willing and committed to speaking the truth, "that we may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." Now, he further says, thinking about sweetening up, in verse 26, "But be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." He further says in verse 29, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying." That is strengthening, building up. "That it may minister grace unto the hearers." Tune in, tone down, sweeten up. Verse 31, this is still Ephesians chapter 4. "Let all bitterness and wrath, anger and clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Three essential and salient keys to good communication: tune in, tone down, and sweeten up. Consider, before you speak, what needs to be said, how should I say it, and when should I say it. But I hope you'll remember those 3 points for what they are worth when it comes to improving our communication. And Lord knows I have ways to go in perfecting and improving my communication. But I want to learn to better tune in, tone down, and sweeten up. If you are attentive to the voice of the Lord this evening and find yourself a guilty distance from him as a child of his, as you listen to the voice of God, the voice of love, the voice of compassion, the voice of truth, the voice of instruction, if you find that you need to take remedial measures this evening through repentance, confession, and prayer,